Lecture 48, Conclusion, Europe on the Eve of the 21st Century.
Hello. Welcome to our 48th and final lecture in this series on modern European history. In this lecture, we want to assess the course that we have taken over the past 2.5 centuries to examine the issues from a long-term perspective that have dominated European political, social, and economic life since the era of the French Revolution. We want to examine the present. Europe in 1989, 1990 would undergo a dramatic change. The collapse of communism in Eastern Europe, the sudden unification of Germany, the acceleration toward a European Union in the West, and now with the prospect of unity across the old continent, Europe seems to be poised on the cusp of a new era, a new age. The political landscape of Europe in the 1990s has been dramatically transformed. What will follow the collapse of the Soviet Union? Can a stable democracy and a market economy be established in the former Soviet republics? As one examines the newspapers day to day, sees the titanic struggles going on to create the basis of democratic states in a political culture which has had very little, indeed virtually no experience with democratic life, the former Soviet Union, before that the Tsarist Empire. Can a market economy be established in these former Eastern states, these former communist states? One takes for granted, in many respects, I think, operating in the West, the notion of the market. But how does it work? I can recall attending a conference in the aftermath of the collapse of the East German state with a number of East German economists. And we were talking over dinner, not in the public forum, but over dinner, over the nature of the economy and the nature of the market. And finally, one of them turned to a colleague of mine, an economist, one was never going to ask a historian this sort of question, and said, "But who then sets the prices? Who sets the prices in a market economy?" And then as one tried to begin to explain the magic, the invisible hand of the market, it seemed as if one were talking about some sort of spiritual force rather than a mechanism of economic life. How does one inculcate that? How does one develop it? Can this be done successfully in the former Soviet bloc and at the same time make a transition to something like democratic government? If Mikhail Gorbachev found that it was impossible to introduce both glasnost and perestroika in the Soviet Union and maintain the system, is it any less difficult to transform an economy from this controlled economy to a market-oriented economy, a market-driven economy, and lay the foundations for some sort of civic culture, democratic civic culture and participation? The transition from state socialism to market economy has already produced enormous strains. We see it daily. And yet, progress appears to be taken, to be made. At the same time, ethnic hostilities, long buried under Soviet rule, have reemerged. The Soviet Union, and indeed communism in the East, one thinks of the former Yugoslavia, succeeded in not in overcoming regional, national, or ethnic division, but what seems quite obvious now, simply repressing it. Now that that repression has been removed, these long-standing ethnic hostilities, hatreds, have come bubbling back up to the surface with great violence, great a kind of bloodlust that has taken Europe, Western Europe in particular, very much by surprise. In the early 1990s, as Western Europe and indeed increasingly the notion of a united Europe began to sink in, that this might actually be possible, that Europe was entering a new era, an era marked by optimism about the future, that Europe's great economic power would be a key to its position in the world in the future rather than military might. The military might was no longer going to be the key. This was the basis of power during the Cold War. between the United States and the Soviet Union. But in the new era, in what the American President George Bush referred to as the New World Order, it wouldn't be